bearing the cross to win the crown. They used to sing a song closely akin to this one, "No Cross, No Crown." In reality, so many different crowns cannot be worn unless prerequisitely a cross is born. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. Those who long for a delightful child to be added to their family, they want to experience the crown of parenthood. But if you want to experience the crown of parenthood, you have to bear the cross of pregnancy. And I'm told that that involves some inconvenience. That involves sometimes some pain and some suffering and some tribulation when you go through your labor pains. Anybody in here ever had a baby? Okay, a lot of you have. All of us have been a part of being had. I'm told that it's not a real good experience insofar as discomfort, insofar as pain is concerned. But the joy that comes afterwards is difficult to quantify. And I think all of us who have children can acknowledge that the joy of becoming a parent in a very real sense is akin to wearing a special crown. But after you become a parent, there are still some crosses that you must bear. But in order to win the crown, you have to bear the cross. Certainly it is good that God has allowed us to return here this evening to worship him as he directs us in his word, in spirit, and in truth. We invite your attention, in addition to the passage that was read by Brother Clifford, to a passage at the very end of the same chapter, verses 33 and 34. Jesus, our Lord, in concluding this middle chapter of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, says in Matthew 6, 33 and 34, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And then he says in verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow," or we'd say "for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The message of the Master in these verses is that we should learn to live one day at a time. We shouldn't focus inordinately or in an unhealthy way on yesterday. We should not fix our gaze on tomorrow and become preoccupied with what might happen on tomorrow. Just live in what someone has called a day-tight compartment. Live today to the fullest. Take fullest advantage of the opportunities that it offers and the responsibilities that it brings. Live in a day-tight compartment. Live in today. Don't allow the negatives of yesterday to seep into your compartment of today. Don't allow the things anticipated that are going to happen on tomorrow. Don't allow those things to have an adverse and deleterious influence and impact on your today. Don't allow anticipated storms of tomorrow to darken your mental sky today and blot out the sunshine that you could be experiencing presently. Learn to live one day at a time. Amen. The older I get, the more I can appreciate that concept. Brother Prowell asked me downstairs a few moments ago, he says, your surgery approaches. Are you getting a little anxious? I said, I don't think so. I'm trying not to. I am concerned. But I mentioned to him and I've mentioned to others periodically, when we cross our bridges before we get to them, we have to pay the toll twice. So just wait till you get to your bridge before you try to cross it to preempt that additional toll that would be assessed upon you. Learn to live one day at a time. Jesus, in what is termed most frequently as the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6 and verse 11. In his petition to the Father, as he endeavored to teach his disciples how to pray, one of the things incorporated in that sample prayer was this request: give us this day our daily bread. I won't worry about tomorrow's bread. I won't worry about next week's bread. I won't worry about next month's bread. I won't worry about next year's bread. Help me to just focus on today's bread. Give me this day. Give us this day our daily bread. It's wonderful to learn to live one day at a time and to learn to do things sequentially, one step at a time. I'd like to talk to you just for a few more minutes on perfecting the art of living one thing at a time, or doing one thing at a time, or taking one step at a time. Perfecting signifies getting good at. You want to get good at something, you want to practice it. You want to do it over and over again. Art signifies the special way of doing something. The concept of doing a thing systematically, taking one small step at a time. This basic concept applies to many endeavors in life. It applies to completing any challenging and possibly debilitating undertaking. It needs to be done one step at a time. If you want a college degree, you're not going to get it all at once. The offers on the internet that you send a few dollars to a certain place, or you give them your MasterCard or Visa number and they will instantaneously send you a degree through the mail if you will pay the agreed upon price. That's bogus. If you want a degree, you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. You have to do it one class at a time, one quarter at a time, one semester at a time, one year at a time, day by day, class by class, quarter by quarter, year by year, until you complete the challenging undertaking. It is done one step at a time. There's a world-famous golfer who practiced incessantly. And sometimes there would be a crowd of folk gathered around him as he practiced. And frequently, individuals would say to him, "So, man, I wish I could play golf like you do. So, if I could just... if I could swing a club like you do, if I could putt like you do, if I just had your skills, and if I were able to make the money that you are making, wouldn't that be wonderful?" And he heard this time after time, day after day. Finally, it kind of got on his nerves. And he responded by saying, he said, "Yes, you'd want to do this. Yeah, you wish you could play golf as good as I do. Yes, you wish you were well known like I am. Yes, you wish you could make the money in the tournaments that I make if it were easy. But you are not willing to pay the price in order to experience the success that I'm experiencing. You don't want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go out on the green when you can barely see and hit 1,000 balls until your hands are bleeding and then get another 1,000 and hit 1,000 more. Yeah, you would like to do it if it were easy, if it were instantaneous, but you have to practice, you have to swing. One at a time, one session at a time, one day at a time, one ball at a time, ball after ball, ball after ball, if you want to be successful. Celebrated NBA star Kobe Bryant used to, I don't know if he still does it or not, maybe he should have suggested doing what he did to Shaq. But during the summer, during the off season, every day he threw 2,000 free throws. Free throws. 2,000 of them. Every day. You know how he did them? One at a time. Ball after ball. Throw after throw. Immensely successful, but he worked hard. The late celebrated sprinter Florence Griffith Joyner, in excellent physical shape, one of the fastest, at one time the fastest woman on the planet. In order to keep in shape, one of the things she did each night, 1,000 sit-ups every night, one sit-up at a time, one day at a time, 1 week at a time. She was a champion. But she achieved her success step by step. The concept, one at a time, applies in so many different areas of life. It applies to writing a 15,000 word term paper. It applies to committing a long passage of scripture to memory. One word at a time, one verse at a time, one phrase at a time, one chapter at a time. It takes hard work, but it can be done. It applies to the long and drawn out process of attaining and sustaining meaningful and relevant spiritual growth and development. It's done one step at a time, one prayer at a time, one Bible study session at a time, one act of faith at a time, step by step. We have to invest ourselves in the undertaking that we are facing, that we are being challenged by, and do it one step at a time. The concept of one at a time applies to making or knitting a sweater. My wife went to visit Sister King last week, and Sister King is pretty feeble now. But she indicated to my wife, she said, you know, in her characteristic way, Sister Jones, I can't just sit around. She's still knitting. Still knitting. And I don't know a whole lot about knitting, Clifford, but I know you have to take those little needles and you do it one thing at a time. And folks make bedspreads, and folks make shawls. Folks make pillow covers. Folks make tablecloths. One stitch at a time. It takes patience to do it, doesn't it, Arthur? Not that you've done it, but you can imagine it takes patience to do it, one step at a time. And she's still making stuff for folks. And she's feeble, fragile, frail, health is failing, but she yet recognizes the value of taking one step at a time. It applies to cutting down a mighty oak with a small hatchet. Making one even childish swipe at a time, swipe after swipe, one after the other, from childish swipes to mighty oak, will eventually tumble. You just have to continue one at a time. The old Chinese proverb states, a 10,000 mile journey begins with one step. Remember, no great thing was created suddenly. The one at a time concept can be applied to learning a foreign language, applied just to winning souls. apostles and facilitating the numerical growth of the church, we win them one at a time. One at a time. It can be done. This concept applies to any major undertaking. And of course, it applies to life itself, as we have emphasized. Give us this day our daily bread, just one day's worth at a time. Seen in Exodus 16, when the folks murmured and complained they didn't have any food, the Lord said, I want to test you. I want you to learn to depend upon me. So every morning I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. I'm going to rain down manna from heaven. And what I want you to do is I want you to go out and just gather enough for that day. Don't try to hoard it, gather more than you need. If you do, it's going to breed worms. Depend on me. Well, what if something happens? Don't worry about tomorrow. Just gather enough for today. And I'll provide some more on tomorrow. New manna every morning. One day at a time. Some folks didn't trust him. Some folks didn't believe. They gathered more than they were allowed to. And it bred worms and stank. Some would say it stunk. The Lord was trying to get them to adopt the one day at a time mentality. To depend upon him. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And what he's really saying is that each day has enough trouble of its own. You don't have to try to borrow no trouble from tomorrow. You don't have to try to borrow any trouble from yesterday. Yesterday is past and gone. Tomorrow may never come. Today is all we have. It is a gift from God. My little sister says that's why it's called the present. One day at a time. One step at a time. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him. And he will direct thy path. Put your full trust in him. And recommit yourself to living one day at a time. If you are here tonight and you're outside the ark of safety, you're not a part of the family of God, and you would like to be a part of God's family, you'd like to come into his fold, you'd like to secure or find salvation and safety and security within the parameters of his body, of his church, you can do it through hearing the wonderful story of love, the glorious gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried, and how he arose again. The third day, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, this gospel will save you if you'll keep it in memory, unless you have believed in vain. You've heard it. Believe it now with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. That is, change your mind toward sin, toward the things you know are wrong, and determine you're going to turn away from those things. You're going to give those things up. You're going to turn those things loose and let them go. You're not going to live the way you used to live. You're not going to do what you used to do. That's involved in repentance. Changing your mind towards sin, turning away from sin, from those things that are wrong. Then you will be asked to confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession of faith, we will gladly immerse you in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise from the watery grave ready to walk in the newness of life and begin your Christian walk one day at a time. Begin your spiritual growth and development one step at a time. Begin learning the Word of God and feeding upon it one day at a time, one passage at a time. Begin your spiritual growth one prayer at a time, one expression of faith and trusting at a time. And if you'll do that consistently, your spiritual growth is guaranteed. Why not become a Christian this evening? If you're here and you're already a Christian, but you've lapsed into unfaithfulness, why not rededicate your life, recommit your life to the Lord tonight through repentance, confession, and prayer? You know the steps to take. Will you take them as we together stand and as we sing?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy Son was shed for me, and that thy